the BBC's thinking, specifically in future media, about how we take content and distribute it onto what are an ever-growing number of platforms or screens. The key thing here, though, was in 2010, we had some innovation, but all these, even though they came out of the same division, were fairly run as silos. You know, we talked about multi-platform, but you had a web team, you had an interactive TV team, you had a mobile team, you had an iPlayer team. And although the same content was made available, we weren't so joined up. And I think what I want to sort of explain today is how technology and audience behavior is impacting on the BBC, both in terms of organizational structures, as well as about, you know, the types of things we're trying to do in terms of delivering that content. And I have got probably far too many slides, so I'll whiz through a lot. UK audience trends, you know, all this data, basically more people going online, more people are going away from news on broadcast, which is a big problem for the BBC. Social networking is getting big. Mobile internet is growing hugely. Social networking, more stats and figures just to kind of hit us on the head. It's here. There's especially a younger generation who are engaging with it and getting their content or accessing content via it. But for broadcasters, we still, you know, we've still got a thing called Digital UK happening in this country. This year, it will be Anglia, Central and Yorkshire, 70% of the country will only be able to get digital TV analogues going off. Feels like old news, because most of you probably got Sky or Virgin Media, Freeview or Freestat already. So you are already digital, but 2012, April next year, you won't be able to have any analogue signals. So goodbye CFAX. Goodbye your VCR, unless you get some adapters to change it. You know, it's a change. And I think sometimes when you're looking 7 to 10 years ahead, my job's to look a bit about the audience now, the audience in 3 years. I think Jerry, who's from the BBC, he's more like 7 years. So this, we can't ignore that for a lot of people, they're becoming digital citizens just by the fact that their TV is now digital, with all that implies about digitalisation. The next stage, obviously, is for businesses, made everyone go digital. Now we want to make them go HD, and that comes with its own challenges. For broadcasters, you know, it's more bandwidth hungry. It means that sometimes you have to run HD and SD, and that's not good. Standard definition, high definition. And, you know, it's quite a hard sell because a lot of people are buying high definition TVs and actually watching in standard definition and thinking they're watching high definition. So what's the customer proposition to kind of convince them that HD is worthwhile? Roll on the Olympics. I think that's where people will see that. I haven't mentioned 3D because it's still quite small, but it's bubbling up. But these are the things that concern us. In terms of other things that are concerning us, connected TVs. I don't know, anybody in the audience got a TV or a device in their living room connected to the TV that's internet enabled? Yeah, so it's here. Does anyone have, well, we'll show this in a minute. So for the BBC, it's a small scale audience. It's a fragmented picture, as we can see from the amount of people in here, and they're all using slightly different technologies. So the challenges for content makers like ourselves is, you know, how do we kind of scale up our content delivery and our products when there's slightly different variations of HTML or other technologies in the field? Has anyone got one of these? Connected TV? Oh, that's the next one, yeah. You got one? Which one have you got? Sony Bravia, yeah. And what sort of services are you using on that?
Just the on-demand stuff, the iPlayer.
And was it easy to connect to the internet?
Very.
I like to do a bit of audience research while I'm doing these things. But as I say, that's here. There's not that many people with them, but most TV sets in the UK and certainly worldwide from this year will come with an Ethernet cable ability. And also, moving forward, wireless ability. We've rolled out iPlayer onto, I haven't shown the game consoles, but iPlayer onto Wii and PlayStation. PlayStation is doing incredibly well in terms of a device in the living room to consume media on. Here's your Apple, obviously, Apple TV. So those providers, they're a bit of a technology company, a consumer electronic company. They're moving into this space. They're offering content from BBC, from other partners. It's not a space they naturally feel comfortable in, but you know, there's an interesting business development going on there. And I think a lot of what's happening in the connected TV world reflects what happened in the mobile world with operators and handset manufacturers previously. And it's kind of coming together around apps. Apple TV, there's many of these, and it's boxy, there's quite a few of these. What they do is they aggregate content, sometimes illegally, not saying Apple does an agreement, aggregates it, puts it out. Challenge for the BBC and other broadcasters is, you know, we can license our content, we can get some revenue back, we can get two audiences are on there, but do we get the attribution, do we get the control that we've had in the past, this word control, where we broadcast to many and we ended up, you know, giving them very much the same experience. You turn to BBC One at 8 o'clock, you get what we tell you we think is good for you. And then now, as I say, people are moving to their own choice. With technology and innovation, again, I'm putting audiences central. Some of the things that are happening right now, TiVo is launched in the UK on Virgin Media, and UView is due to launch next year, and I can talk about UView later if anyone wants to talk about that. One of the things, the simple things it's going to do for audiences is the same thing that Sky Plus did for audiences, which is making content easier to find and be able to download it and put it on your hard drive. This one allows you to go backwards on an electronic program guide. So where normally you would say, what's on tomorrow? Can I pre-book it and record it? Can I record it in standard or high definition? Now you can come in on Wednesday evening and think, I've been out, you know, entertaining myself, and I'll go back to Tuesday night and I can then watch it and catch up. And it's a small thing, but once again, it's showing content discovery is the nice term everyone uses, but it allows to use a reverse electronic program guide for people to catch content. And I think it's no surprise that over the last few years, while iPlayers and 4OD and Sky Anytime Plus are coming through, TV viewing's gone up, because actually people are finding quality stuff to watch. Tablets and apps. This is the other thing that kind of concerns us. In a way, connected TVs, and this is not a BBC opinion, it's my opinion, you know, I feel like they could leapfrog connected TVs as a means to engaging audiences. Lots of data, I'm sure you've all read that, but it's not for the mass market, but it's going very fast. And these things, we're seeing people using them in the living room alongside TVs. And once these TVs are connected, you're on Wi-Fi or you're on your tablet, on your PC, you're in a connected home. And that's very exciting for us. Also on these tablets, which I have got, but I'm not on the Wi-Fi yet, so I won't show. But and again, I'm not promoting this one. It promotes itself as the best TV guide on iPad. You can sit at home now, and you can pull up your TV guide, which is tvguide.co.uk, is the one that you'll see on your iPad thing, home screen if you download it. And it just tells you what's on, and you can choose to be on Freeview or Freesat, Virgin Media or Sky. If you're on Sky, you can also record to your box remotely from it. All this stuff's happening, and you know, not early adopters are using it, but it's a sign of how content and how do you get to content. There are a number of players coming between us, the BBC, and you as viewers and users and radio listeners. The market's getting very layered. And I was wondering whether we're antagonistic or protagonist of the BBC, but you know, this is what we see at the moment. We feel that there's a lot of antagonism out there. These are just some examples of just using technology to control television, control devices remotely. There are more interesting ones in terms of content enhancement. So once you've got a device in the home, it doesn't have to be a tablet, it can be PC. There's been a number of experiments around the world about coinciding or companion devices where you've got the same content on the small screen and on a big screen. Big HD TV, you don't really want to put too much on it, but if you can put it onto a tablet where you can input, it's got your preferences, so it's personalized, it just suddenly starts to make sense as a dynamic place for people to engage with your content. And obviously Disney have done some examples. Interestingly, there's no more than these, which makes me feel that it's not been hugely successful for them yet. But they're also doing ABC TV, have done one around Grey's Anatomy, and Fox have done one around Bones, which is TV shows. And Belgium, they've done one around Come Dine With Me, the Belgian version. And what's interesting here, you know, the company that did this, MobileWeb, have said TV is inherently social, and social media is a conduit. So again, in the broadcasting space, social networking, it's kind of coming together. I think it's getting much more interesting than just slapping Twitter on a TV. It's about how do you integrate these and enhance these experiences. And then who's winning out? You know, who are we promoting? I had an example where Facebook came to do a presentation to the BBC, and when they tell you, you know, the almost like a large country around the world. You think, well, who needs who most now? You want our content, we need your audience. Oh, there's a shift there that is interesting for broadcasters. And let's face it, the BBC is one of the biggest. For smaller broadcasters, it could be a threat. Anyway, so what's BBC doing in response to all this? We're basically concentrating on a set of products that we think are flagships. And there's no real surprises there. News, sport, weather is what we do best. The children's offering, knowledge and learning. Our learning offering is actually mostly all online, but we're trying to link that back to broadcast, radio, music, and TV iPlayer. And home and page and search has kind of crept in there because it plays a central role. But those products, we're unifying around those products. We're employing people to own that product from a technical point of view and someone from an editorial point of view. And those two people have to start thinking about the audiences it wants to engage with, how it needs to get out there, and on which platforms or screens. Come back to that sort of definition. So we're looking for quite, people in the past where the World Cup example, I might just think about the web, I might just think about mobile. We're looking for individuals who can have a view of how that content works best across those platforms. And not just slicing it, but then, making it work better depending on the feature set available on those different devices and platforms. I think this was referenced elsewhere. It's going to get more dynamic. So we do believe broadcast is still really important to us. As I mentioned, people are still watching TV in large numbers. So it needs to be, for us, in context to that broadcast moment, but also in context of what you're doing and where you are. So we're trying to create experiences around that. But it means that the content that we have has to be able to be moved around, shifted, recollated by the end user as much as by ourselves. And so we're looking into all that, comes onto it. And, I guess that might be considered 2 years ahead. All this is, I say is happening now. You won't get the size of audiences that we have on typical broadcast and radio for probably 3, 5, maybe 10 years. No one really is saying. I mean, by 2015, people talk about 25% of homes having connected TVs, and possibly they will connect their TVs. So it's difficult, but this is what we're thinking about. So what we are doing stuff right now. So we're taking small steps. So we're taking the content that works well, and we're putting it onto platforms like the iPad and the iPhones. And because we're the BBC, we have to have fair trading rules. So we're also putting it onto Android and BlackBerry, which comes with all the same headaches that you would have of different operating systems and different builds and different roadmaps. Ooh, it gets complicated. But anyway, but this is what we're doing already, and you can get this on the iPad now. We still believe we have a role, and it's a bit like the role we have on a BBC One or a BBC Two or Radio 4. We bring content together. You might tune in at 8 o'clock, you might catch up with it, but we kind of curate, we have an editorial view. We have to believe we have some value going forward. Otherwise, we'll just make content and other people take it. So we believe that these are one of the ways, and especially with the BBC archive going to be opened up, that we can do this. And I know from the audiences we get on Red Button, which is considered a sort of legacy technology, we're getting 12.5 million people a week using it. And why are they using it? They want to basically have some more choice and some alternatives. And for the BBC, if you notice at the end of programmes, we finally got over the last few years Channel BBC One and Channel BBC Two to acknowledge we're okay for you to say at the end of a BBC One programme, go to BBC Two or BBC Four. But in the past, those silos were like, BBC One's the most important, I don't care what BBC Two does, I want to keep them on my channel. This has been more opened up. And for us, interactive or on demand is another layer where we're saying to the broadcast community who are, we're still bringing them along with all this technology change. It doesn't matter if we say go to iPlayer because it's still going to the BBC content. And in fact, it might add a few more eyeballs to your content. So, it's about bringing them on that journey and joining it together. Am I running quite late? Okay. So with the Connect to Home, this is what we think we can do. Unconstrained audience. I'm not quite sure what that means, actually. Audience access, that's right. Apps and journeys, personalized experience content. And again, talking about why professional. We bring an editorial view, but we can also use algorithmic. So what's most popular, just driving you know, driving content up through that way. And also with community recommendations, favorites, we can allow the community to raise content to you. We're doing it rather than platforms across multiple screens. So that's what you'll hear more and more of. And finally, technology. We can touch on this later. There's a sort of debate around HTML5 coming along, which is not yet standard. Flash, which is available. We've sort of had backing two horses at the moment. The cloud has been mentioned. So final thing I'd like to leave you with is, you know, we are setting standards and we're doing that internally about how we design products, how we put the user at the center of those products, and then how we distribute those products. But we're having to do that more and more collaboratively. So we work with people like the DTG on a standard called the D-Book, which is about television. We're working with Apple and we're working with other partners where we are trying to make it a more standard approach, because if we, you know, we are a powerful power in the UK. If we can try and create some standards that the industry can all get behind, it will make it easier for us and everyone to get the content out to people in this lovely world where we're all able to do it wherever we are. And actually, I've got one last thing, business models, which is what we're talking about. The usual ones are here. Everyone talks about the Holy Grail. You know, I think what we've talked about this morning, you know, there's ways of doing business. There's ways of cutting business. I don't think those ways have changed. They've just got more hybrid. And I've always looked at publishing companies that have kind of kept on going, kept innovating, and managed from a small audience to keep themselves afloat. And I took this from a publishing specialist media show survey. I just think this is very interesting. You know, paywall. There's also looking at expanding and value add through webinars, virtual events, distance learning. People are going to diversify and value add. I don't think it's going to replace existing business models, but they're going to have to weld them differently. And I think you're seeing examples of that. It's still early days, and lots of testing in process is what they end on. But, you know, there are opportunities there, both for the audience who want this content and for businesses to be able to generate revenue to support getting it out there. Thank you.
Thank you.